Awesome. Praise team, thank you very much for that this morning. Good stuff. Kind of going along this morning, quite a testimony. 10 pages or not, who cares? It's all good, huh? I love it. I love the fact that a testimony is yours. You know what I'm saying? It belongs to you. It's internal. Nobody else can have your testimony. And so when you give that, it's so personal and it's so revealing in most cases that it's absolutely just a gracious thing to be able to be witness to those things, but also to see how God works in various levels and various ways in people's lives. As Dave was giving his testimony this morning, things become evident even when I think about my life and how I look back, and there's all these markers that God threw in my face along the path, even when I didn't even know him or could care less. But he was always putting these flags out for me to see and to follow. And, of course, I couldn't see him until years later, but it's just amazing. And so Dave was kind of noting that this morning, whether he knew he was or not, these markers in his life where God has been drawing him this whole time. So just a good thing, a wonderful thing this morning. We're going to continue in our study of John this morning. Although I had planned for a little bit longer time, we're going to kind of hyphen it this morning a little bit, but that's okay. It doesn't bother me. Okay, we go as long as the Holy Spirit. That's why we go line by line, verse by verse, and we can stop wherever we want, and then we just pick up next week and do whatever we got to do. So I'm going to shorten it up a little bit today. We're going to talk about one aspect of this morning, but I got to warn you up front, okay, which I hardly ever do. This teaching is very hard, okay? It's not an easy teaching. And this one point in particular is not an easy point, but I don't want you to look at it negatively. I don't want you to be crushed by it, okay? Here is the truth. Jesus is going to talk about what a true disciple is, and here's the truth. True disciples of Jesus do not get crushed and go away. Okay? There's my first warning to you. They don't get crushed and go. They never do. They always hang tough, regardless. Okay? They get beat up a lot, but they hang tough. Okay? True disciples don't go away and disappear. That's the first warning. So when you hear this morning, it's meant to pick you up. It's meant to either confirm or convict. That's what Jesus does. Confirm or convict. He's either going to confirm in your heart this morning that you understand the truth of what a true disciple is, or he's going to convict your heart. Convicting your heart is good. Okay? That's how I got here. Some point, sometime, someplace, God worked on me hard enough. Right? And I surrendered. Surrendering is good. Okay? Surrendering is good. Also personal between you. So we're going to look at John chapter 8. We're in verse 31. And I, you know what? I don't think we're going to get past verse 31. Okay? We're just going to stay with verse 31. That's what we're going to do. We might go to 41, but I doubt it. But we're going to bounce around a little bit, but I want you to just grab onto this one truth because it's really, really, really important. I want to pray first, and then we'll go into the Word. We'll go to work this morning, right? Okay, here we go. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, and we are excited and elated, and how is this possible? I think it's John that says, oh, what manner of love is this that you would draw us to yourself? And so this morning as we read your Word, Father God, draw us to yourself, please. If conviction is it, Father, convict us. If confirmation is it, Father, then give us confirmation. Holy Spirit, work in our hearts and our minds that we're not relying on our own perception, that we're not relying on our own assertion of the things around us, Father God, but we're relying on the one truth that stands, and that is the Word of God through you, Lord Jesus. And so I pray for that power to go out this morning, Father God, please. We don't want this about men. We want this about you for your great name this morning, Father God. For your glory this morning, Father God. Change our hearts and our minds. Please. love you, Lord Jesus, and it is in your name today that we pray. Amen. So as we've been studying the Gospel of John, right, we've been looking, Jesus all along in this whole Gospel has been presenting his claims over and over and over. The same claims, I mean, if you go back through now that we've been studying it for a while, you'll see. He just says the same things over and over. Why does he say the same thing? Because God told him what to say. Here's what I want you to tell them, Jesus, right? He's declared clearly like who he is. He's done these miracles, okay? And he's taught the teachings, or he's had these things that God has told him to teach, right? And for the people, and the people for the most part, if you've been reading through this, they have been rejecting Jesus, right? They don't believe him. They don't buy into any of his claims. They don't believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be. This is why John writes the gospel. He says, here, I want you to read this and to see it so that you'll believe that Jesus is the Son of God, right? And in our passage, in our setting, let's say, it's only going to be a few months, maybe less than 6 months. And these same people that are rejecting him, the same people that are refusing to believe his claims, are going to string him up on a cross. And he'll be crucified dead. And so these people that he's speaking to today have been plotting his murder for a few months now. We learned that back in chapter 5 when they first came up with the idea, hey, we got to get rid of this guy. And so it says from this day forward in chapter 5, they began to plot Jesus' death. Right? And in spite of all of this, Jesus still continues to deliver his message of salvation to the world. Right? Last week we saw in verse 12, which is really the theme of chapter 8. It's really the theme of chapter 8. We saw in verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so the implication here is that the whole world is in darkness. And the only light of hope, right, is the light of Jesus Christ for a dying world. This is the whole purpose. The world is dark. They don't believe him. They don't believe his claims. They do not want anyone to rule over them. And so it's completely dark. And Jesus comes in and says, I'm the light of the world. I'm the only hope. In verses 12 to 31, which we looked at last week, Jesus gave the Jewish leaders really the simplicity of the gospel. We talked about that. Jesus gave them the gospel. Okay? He essentially said, you know what? The only way, right? The only way you can have the light of life, the only way you can not walk in darkness is you have to believe everything Jesus Christ said about himself is true, that he is the Son of God, right? We saw that in verses 12 through 18 last week. You have to believe that everything Jesus Christ said about you is true, okay? And we saw that last week in verses 19 through 24. You also have to believe that the judgment of God that is coming upon this world is true. We saw that last week in verses 25 and 26. And you have to believe that Jesus Christ took the punishment upon himself for those who would believe when he was lifted up on the cross. And we saw that in verses 27 to 29. So he gives the gospel to these guys, okay, these Jewish leaders. And it wasn't just the Jewish leaders that were in opposition. Don't ever get that. Remember, we've gone through this in this gospel. Everybody rejected Jesus, whether they lived in the village, whether they lived in the country. Okay, the Jewish leaders are just the focus at this point. And so then you have to believe these things Jesus says. You have to believe that these things are true. And then he says that you have to take your whole life and you have to place it in Jesus Christ if you want to escape from the darkness. That's the gist of it, right? And so it appears from verse 30 of last week that some people began to believe. Okay? Now, this is crucial for us today. It says that some people began to believe. It appears that they believe because Jesus is getting ready to reveal to them that their faith is not a saving faith, but rather a superficial faith. These guys heard this message from Jesus, and verse 30 says, and Jesus spoke these things, and many came to believe in him. And so Jesus is getting ready, not wanting, okay? And I've used the analogy of a coach in a football team before, right? If you're on a football team and you have a head coach, the best thing that head coach can do for you is to prepare you, right? Okay? Hey, we have practice 5 days a week. Come on in. We're going to watch cartoons for 2 hours a day. Okay? That doesn't prepare you. God loving you more than anything in the world says, I can't leave you where you are. They began to believe. I can't leave you where you are. And so he's going to give this a litmus test, so to speak, right? True saving faith. What does a true disciple look like? Now, it's important to understand that when he says this, he's not saying that you'll look like it from an external point of view in which somebody can look at you and go, oh, that's a true disciple. He wants you to know what it looks like here, where it counts. Okay? You want to know how you really know? You want to know how you really believe? This verse right here. Very important. Very important. Verse 31, Jesus says, so, Jesus was saying to those who had believed, right? Got a past tense right up front. Ever notice that? Those who had believed. They didn't say to those that were believing. Jesus said to those who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Right? And so he reveals the true test of saving faith in his statement. True test, true disciple. Okay, and so I see three things in this, although we're only going to talk about one. The first thing I see is there's an internal confirmation, right? There's an internal, if you continue in my word. The second thing we'll look at next week is the internal recognition, right? You will know the truth. And then the third thing I see is the is what I'm calling anyway, the external actualization. Okay, big word, but the really what it means is, how do we act knowing the truth? How do we act having it internally confirmed in us? So there's two internal indicators that testify to our souls that we are believers, and there are external actions that flow out of those internal confirmations. Right here, baptism we saw this morning, that is an external, okay, activity that flows out of an internal confirmation. Okay? And so Jesus says that this is what a true disciple is. Okay, look at the first one, the internal confirmation. That's all we're going to talk about today. The internal confirmation. Look at verse 31. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly, okay, disciples of mine. And so the reason I say this is an internal confirmation, because it can only be confirmed by you. You're the only one that knows this. Trust me. You're the only one that will know this. Okay? And so Jesus says, true disciples of mine, continue in my word. Continue in my word. See, you might be able to fool the world. There's a lot of people running around in churches doing a lot of busy things, but they have no love for God's word. Okay? And so this is an internal thing. How do I know I believe Jesus? That's what you should be worried about. You shouldn't be worried about whether anybody else believes you believe. Okay? You want to know yourself. When I think about my walk and my life, myself, I want to know for me, Lord, because that's what's important. What good does it do you to get to the end of the day and you're not? It's like I think the writer, or Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, nobody's going to praise you from the grave. Wow, that guy was a good Christian. When all your friends are dead and everybody else is gone, there's only one person you have to worry about whether you know Christ or not. And that's you. Okay? So Jesus says this. He says that you have to have a love for his word. And this is an internal thing, right? You have to hunger and thirst for Jesus and his word. This is what true saving faith is, internally. There's an obedience in doing and believing what God says. And Jesus says, look, if you really love me, if you want to be with me, if you want to know if you're a true disciple of mine, you will have a hunger and thirst for the word of God. Okay? So what does that mean? That's what we're looking at, right? You can't say that you're a true lover of Christ and not have any appetite for his word. As a pastor, I can't tell you whether you have an appetite for his word. I can't tell you where you're at. I can't tell you. I mean, this is Jesus telling you, look, if you have this hunger, if you are always seeking me in my word, if you are always searching me out of my word, this is an indicator inside that you belong to me. And so I can't tell you that, right? All I can tell you, all I can do is point out the frequency of your appetite, right? How much time do you spend in Jesus and his word? Do you love it? Do you believe it? Do you follow it? Do you accept it as the truth? Or do you pick out the verses you like and toss away the ones that you don't? This is the test. This is the litmus test. Love is a verb. I always say this. Love is a verb. It's an action word. Jesus demonstrated love when he went to the cross. It's an action word. Okay? We demonstrate our love for Jesus by wanting to know everything about him. That's the whole point. We want to know him. That's everything. We want to know him. So we have an appetite. It's not something we make up. You can't put a list on the refrigerator, read my Bible today. Okay? I mean, that's silly. These things flow out of love. You don't put a list on your refrigerator, feed my kid today. Number one, feed my kid. Okay, let me get my Cheerios. Right? You feed your kid, why? Because you love him. You care for him. This is what Jesus said. If you truly love me, you want to know if you love me? Seek my word. Read my word. Love my word. Be in my word because it's me. That's the truth. That's the only place you can be. That's the only place you can be. Well, I dare to say, some of you men, if you treated your wives the way you treat Jesus now, you would have never gotten married. That's the truth. Because when you met your wife, what did you do? You pursued her to death. You wanted to know everything about her. You studied her. You asked all of her friends about her. You read her book. And Jesus says, I'm the love of your life. And so we're like, Jesus says, you will love my word. You'll be drawn to learn. That's what disciple means. You know that? The Greek word mathetes means learner. It simply means learner. I think in 1 Peter chapter 3, God calls men to be learners of their wives. Because that's a marriage. And so our marriage to the Lamb is no different. We want to be learners, right? This is something that comes from within you out of love. You have a craving to know Jesus and to learn about Jesus. Listen to what 1 Peter says. This is just fabulous. Peter says, therefore, putting aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. That's an amazing statement. He says, like newborn babies, you'll crave milk. You ever see a newborn baby? You don't. This is the truth of it. You don't have to teach a baby 3 hours old. You don't have to teach them how to be selfish because all they want is what? Milk. Do they care about anything else? They don't care about the little blue blanket. They don't care about the little pink blanket. They don't care about the little pink beanie. They don't care what color the wallpaper is. The only thing they want is milk. And so God says, Peter says, like a newborn baby, you crave this milk. Okay? This is internally. You know this. Man, am I craving the milk? This should be the question. Am I craving the milk? Am I have a desire for his word? Do I love reading it? Do I love being with him? It's a question you have to ask, right? He says, put away all malice and deceit. Stop deceiving yourself. If you don't crave the milk, if you don't crave the word, stop deceiving yourself. Period. You're playing a game you can't win. Put away all envy and slander. In other words, is the truth of the Word of God truth for you? Or do you twist it and manipulate it to your own needs? He says, put away all that stuff, Peter said. He said, grow in respect to salvation. Be a learner. You not only have to crave it, but you have to believe it. You have to do it. Don't be a hypocrite. That's what these Jewish leaders were doing, right? They were saying that they believed God, but they were rejecting Jesus and his teaching, right? Verse 39 says, they answered him and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, then do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, and a man who has told you the truth, which I learned from God, this Abraham did not do. In other words, look, man, if you guys are really following Abraham, like you said, which was a load of garbage anyway, then you would do what Abraham. Abraham believed by faith. Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham obeyed God. You guys are seeking to kill me. He's pointing out their sin to them, and they're still denying it. They have no love for the Word of God. They have no affection for the things that God says. Verse 41, you are doing the deeds of your father. And they said to him, right? We are not born of fornication. We have one Father, and that is God. Do you see it here? This is awesome. I love this. See, you can't say you believe the Word of God and in the same breath deny the truth. The Jews were saying they had one Father, and that was God, right? But if God were their Father, they would believe His words. What did they say? We are not a fornication. The indication here is that they didn't believe what? They said, we're not a fornication. We're not illegitimate like you are, Jesus. What are they denying right off the bat? The virgin birth, right? We don't believe that stuff about the virgin birth. Come on. Even though Isaiah told us in the Old Testament, in the Scriptures that we've memorized, right? They deny the virgin birth. They deny the virgin birth. But isn't this is so prevalent today, it's not even funny. I can't go a single week without hearing about some Christian who says that they love Jesus, but they deny His word. Can't happen. Right? Yes, we are Christians and we believe Jesus, but not so much, you know, the whole Trinity thing, the virgin birth thing, right? Premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, those are all bendable. Those are all subject to interpretation. About marriage and divorce or the creation, right? You see it all the time. I believe God. I love God. He is the truth. But the earth is 85 million years old and we came from puddles of nothing. Jesus never taught about homosexuality. Paul never condemned same-sex marriage. You hear it all the time. You hear it all the time. Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you are truly disciples of mine. That word abide, same word he just used, right? Same word he used back in verse 31. If you continue, present tense, continuing, 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 continuing. And your answer or your question is, and I know it, right? Because some of you are going, cutting it kind of close, Pastor Sean. Right? Yeah, we love Jesus' word, but, you know, there is a game in 10 minutes. Okay? Your question is, Sean, how much appetite does there have to be in order to know that I'm a disciple? That's, believe me, that's human nature. How close can I get to the edge of the road and still be okay? I can't tell you that because it's something that comes from within here. Surely babies don't drink as much as they do when they're 33. But the point is that you will have this craving. You will have this love. You will have this thirst. How much, Sean? How much should I be craving it? How do I know if I'm not? Believe me, you know if you're not because God is speaking to you right now. And so here's what you can do. You can be like the Pharisees and deny the truth, right? You can say, ah, okay? Because you'll kill it. You can. Trust me. You'll leave here today with that thing. Man, I should, I'm worried about that. If I'm not craving the truth, as Sean said, that we should have an appetite. And boy, I never read my Bible. I never read God's Word. Okay? And this is bothering me. What does this mean? It means that you are not a disciple. It's simple as that. But you can change that. You can get on your knees when it's you and him, and you can say, look, I want to crave your word like milk. Give me that appetite, Lord. Confirm in me that I belong to you internally. Show me that you love me so much that you will give me a hunger that I cannot quench. Or you can be like the disciples, or the Jewish leaders in this passage. Right? And you could just put it away. It'll go away eventually. It may take a couple days. It may pop up on Thursday. But you can kill it. Okay? You can't kill a real disciple. You can't kill a real believer. It'll never go away. It'll never go away. You want to know how much? Turn with me to Acts. Look at the book of Acts. Look at chapter 2, and I want you to go to verse 42. You want to know how much? Well, I can barely keep from crying when I read this. Did I put that up there, Rich? There isn't the next one, is there? Acts 2:42? No? Okay, don't worry about it. Acts 2:42. Hear we? Right? First church. This is the first time that the church has come together. Not a building, the people, the body of Christ. Look at this, man. This is just great. It says in verse 41, so then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day were added about 3,000 souls. Okay, added by God. And then it says, what did the first church do? What did the people do? Because in those days you were a real believer. When you stood up to get baptized, generally speaking, you were signing your death certificate. Okay? You didn't raise your hand and say, hey, can I get baptized? Because the same guys 50 days earlier that hung Jesus on a cross and killed him were waiting for you to say that you're following the way. So, yeah, go ahead and dunk him and then we'll kill him. So these guys weren't playing around. This was no joke. And it says in verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Right? To Jesus' teaching. They were devoting themselves to the Word of God and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You want to know if you're a true disciple of Jesus? That verse right there, take that home and pray on that this week. Because if you desire internally, if you crave internally for Jesus' teaching, you crave internally for the fellowship of the believers, you crave internally for the communion with God, being in relationship with God, and you crave eternally prayer with Christ, Jesus says, you are truly my disciple. You are truly my disciple. That's how we know. They were marked by their continuous devotion to Jesus' word. They were learners. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Quick, smart, convicting. But my prayer is, Father, that we would not be crushed by this, Lord. I know the word is a double-edged sword and it penetrates. It does penetrate. And so, Father, let that stay today. Holy Spirit, that's the prayer. That's the prayer. Encourage the fellowship of the believers, Father, that they are continuing, but they want to continue even more, that they're never satisfied. And please, Father God, convict those that maybe aren't there right now. But it's easy. It's easy. Father, I pray that their hearts would be turned, Holy Spirit, that you would change their mind, that you would give them a new spirit, that they would confess before you that you are true and that what you say about them is true, Father God. And I pray this morning that they would surrender to you, Lord Jesus. Surrender all that they are. Just give up and depend on you. Put all their trust in you. We thank you so much, Father God, for your love. What manner of love is this that you would be mindful of us? Thank you for today, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your worship. We pray this in your precious name.